Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Flushing is Burning. As always, I'm Grace. The last time I got on here, we talked, the Mets were coming off of a series win against the Los Angeles Dodgers off of something wild, like 12 of 15 games they won. And in the week since, they have not had such a great go of it. They played two series in that period of time against the two full series against the Giants and the Cardinals. They played last night against the Cubs. I recapped that game over at Mason Avenue. And yeah, they lost both of those series against the Giants and Cardinals. They were, what was that? They went 2-4. They lost each of the first two games of those series and then won the last one. And then they just lost the game against the Cubs yesterday after Luis Severino took a no-hit bid into the eighth inning. And for some god-awful reason, Carlos Mendoza decided to bring Joey Wendell in for defensive replacement when Brett Beatty was right there. And I don't understand how anyone, having watched the season so far, could think that Joey Wendell was a better defender than, I mean, almost anyone in that position. There's even a scenario in which I might have taken Mark Vientos, because that was a thought process decision. At the very least, Mark Vientos makes the same play as Joey Wendell. But all Joey Wendell had to do was throw home. All he had to do. The no-hitter had been lost. All he had to do was throw home. And he didn't. And they lost that game. Edwin Diaz gave up a two-run home run, which will happen. But yeah, it's not been very fun for the Mets over the last week plus. They've lost six of the last eight? Not great. Don't love that. This is a four-game series against the Cubs, so by the time you hear this, maybe tomorrow, maybe Thursday, maybe whenever, they'll probably be close to wrapping up that series. It doesn't look great. I think the two main concerns for a lot of people recently have been Adrian Hauser, who has looked pretty bad. In a small sample size, it's been five starts, and not all of those starts have been horrific, but he hasn't looked great, and I think that the Mets are sort of stuck in this position where, like, could they replace him? Like, feasibly? Yes, of course. Tyler McGill is rehabbing. He'll be back soon. They've got Dom Hamill down in AAA. They've got Christian Scott down in AAA, which I know is probably the person that most people would want to come up. They've got Joey Lucchese down in AAA, although that would probably be a downgrade given how he's been playing in AAA. It's one of those things. I've listened to people say this. I've read people say this. You can't really replace Adrian Hauser yet. From a team building perspective of the future, like, yes, this is his only year here. Do you need him to be your starter right now? No, you have other options. You could try, but you traded for him, right? Like, the trade was him and Tyrone Taylor, and neither of the, you know, Tyrone Taylor, they're treating like a straight up, like, platoon fourth or fifth outfielder. He's better than that. Like, we can all see that he's better than that, but they seem to think that that's who he is. And Adrian Hauser is a fifth starter. So they basically, at the very least, traded for what was an equal package between Hauser and Taylor, if not for what they considered to be the more important part of it was Hauser. And you can't go into it and promise him a rotation spot and then five starts in and be like, you haven't been that great. We're not gonna go for this, because you're not going to be able to sign anyone in the future that way, right? Like, that's not going to impact your ability to sign the Corbin Burns of the world, but it will impact your ability to probably sign, like, the Sean Manaeas or Luis Severinos, right? Like, you can't just go in and be like, well, you've been bad so far, so we don't want you to be here. We're going to put you in the bullpen, or they can't send him down. He's out of options, and he's been in the majors long enough, I believe, to refuse assignment. So, like, we're going to DFA you. It would be a really bad look. That's been a concern as of late, but, you know, what are you gonna do? We're gonna go through all of this again on whatever day he start. When did he start? Saturday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, what, Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday, we're gonna have to go through this all over again. But Senga's getting better, so that's at least he's been facing live hitters now, which is nice and fun. I think the more concerning thing to me is, and I think that there's a section of Met fans who aren't going to want to hear this. But after that hot start, Beatty is doing terrible. He's fielding well. Like last year, last night, I would have preferred to have him in the field over Joey Wendell. But he has not been able to hit. And I actually want to pull up. Let me go into Baseball Reference. Simply because I like the layout of their site more than FanGraphs. I just want to get some stats here. He's defensively, he's fine, but he has just looked awful as of late. Let's see. Brett Beatty. Splits, 2024. So, over the last 7 days, in 6 games, 5 of which he started, 18 plate appearances, he's been hitting 188, 278, 250, 528 OPS. Over the last 14 days, so that's 10 games, 8 starts, in 29 plate appearances, 115, 207, 154. He hasn't been able to hit, and I think that the problem is that he keeps, his main problem last year was he could not stop hitting ground balls. And clearly, that's what needs to be fixed here. He needs to hit more balls in the air. He has the power that if he were to start doing that, he'd probably be in a much better position. But it seems like no one on the Mets is either concerned with this, or they seem to think that this is part of the process, which, like, I'm sure that's fine, that no one in the Mets organization seems to think, hey, we really should try and get this guy to lift more, and instead of like, it should come. The concern is, what if it doesn't, right? Like, you need to get him, and I don't know if this is a buy-in issue. It seemed like this offseason he was trying to improve that, but he just hasn't. So what's the solution here? Is there a solution? Will he be able to turn it around? Will it be, as much as I hate to say this, would he be better off trying to turn it around somewhere else? Like, the Mets have not been able to consistently really at all develop hitters, especially over the last 5 years or so. Like, other than Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil, Alvarez, I don't think you have enough of a sample size to be able to be like, yep, they did it. And he keeps going up and down. You know, he's injured now, but it was like very up and down with him. Vientos can't make contact to save his life. You know, it's concerning, and I don't know what the issue is here, but I also think that some people aren't going to want to acknowledge that some people is probably more within the organization itself. I think Eric Chavez should not be the Mets hitting coach. I think they need to have a hitting coach who is going to do more than just say, just take what they give you, because that kind of feels like what was the problem with Chili Davis, and then they had to fire Chili Davis because no one was hitting, and like, no one's hitting right now. They cannot get runs in. You know, it feels very like 2020-2021-esque, where like, people get on base and then no one can drive any runs in because they just keep taking what the pitchers give you, which is like good in concept, but the way baseball is now does not work. It is not working. And I don't get why we're so married to him. He's out here posting on Instagram being like, ooh, trying to give, you know, hitting advice for parents to get them to sign up for whatever. Like, it looks like he's trying to build out some sort of private hitting instruction business. Like, bro, go stop posting, do your job. Like, go read up on how to fucking lift a ball. It's concerning, and the Mets this season's gonna be very up and down for them anyway, but their hitting is a concern. Everyone's taking what the pitcher gives them. But if the pitcher's not giving you anything to hit, what are we doing here? Try and get something and lift it. Put a ball in the air. Damn. The other bit of news I wanted to cover in this segment, and this will lead into our second segment, is that yesterday was reported by Jeff Passan and ESPN that the jerseys are getting fixed. The MLBPA sent out some sort of memo to the players saying, yes, the jerseys will be fixed. We've talked to them. Sounds like it might end up being like the latest it could happen is the beginning of 2025. So there might be some cases where like some of the jerseys are stuck like this for the rest of the year, but then next year they'll be okay. The memo blames Nike, like fully is like, this is all Nike's fault. But the people have pointed out MLBPA invests in Fanatics. Some other people are like, oh, well, they get licensing fees from them, which like, yeah, of course they do. The players' names are on the jersey. Only like every player should get money back from the jerseys that their name sells, right? This is my, if you listen to Top of the Key, we discussed this, but like the WNBA doesn't do that. And that makes me mad. And that makes the players mad. And they're probably going to address that in the future CBA. But like players should be getting money back from Fanatics for jerseys that their name sells, right? Like that their name is on the back of. But yeah, apparently the PA invests in Fanatics, so who knows? But they're going to fix them. They're going to be fixing the fact that the letters are too small, which is nice. They're going to fix the see-through pants that randomly pop holes. When I went to Jackie Robinson's Day, I don't know if I talked about this, we were up in the 300s, and I sat there for a moment, and I was like, all right, I'm going to see if I can, when players come out on the field, I'm going to see if I can see through their pants. And yeah, I could see the jersey top through the pants, like the tails of it. I could see it. And it wasn't just like an outline. Like I could see like coloring differences. You know what I'm saying? Which I also probably shouldn't be able to see an outline. You know, like I don't remember being able to see an outline from the field before. I feel like I would have noticed that. They're going to fix the gray tops and bottoms being different shades. These problems are so stupid to me. Like, the last one, the propensity of the jerseys to hold sweat. That one feels like, okay, maybe that is something that they just did need to see, like, play out, right? Because, like, they would have been like, okay, these are moisture wicking. But, oh, no, they're actually holding the moisture. Like, that seems like something that they wouldn't know. But, like, the shades being different is something that should not be able to pass through your doors. Like, that should not ever in the world make it outside of the factory. Like, you should be able to see that and be like, oh, man, we fucked this one up. All right, we got to fix this. It's just, I'm glad they're fixing it. But, like, A, you're going to be able to tell 2024 games. You're going to be able to pick them out because of the lettering. Like, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is a 2024 game because I can't tell who's playing short. But, like, how do you let this stuff get that bad? You know, like, how, I think they're also supposed to be fixing the tailoring. Like, in what world was it a smart idea to say, you know what, let's just do a little bit of math, right? Like, let's say you have to make jerseys for all 40 players on the 40-man, which you shouldn't have to, but, like, let's just do 26-man, because that's what you gotta worry about at a time. 26 players on a team, times that by 4, because they're gonna have, like, 4 jerseys of each. And then times that by 30. You've got to make 3,000 pants. You probably don't even have to make 3,000 pants because they're probably wearing very similar pants. Let's say 26 times 3, because some of the teams have different pants for the City Connects. It's a white, gray City Connect pants. Times 30. 2,300 pairs of pants you have to make. And you can't tailor those. You can't take the time to make sure that they fit the players how they want. Like, that's too much work for you. You're going to do everything else you did with the jerseys, but you're not going to actually tailor them. That's too much work. And, like, 90% of these guys probably have the same measurements year over year. So, like, how much work is that actually to do? You just got to go in and be like, are these still your measurements? Like, if the guy's like, oh, yeah, we gained a little weight or I lost a little weight, then you're like, you know, whatever. But, like, how difficult is it to just be like, well, we're only offering small, medium, large, or XL. If that doesn't work for you, then get screwed. Like, I don't get it. But they'll be fixing that. Hopefully it's sooner. I don't like that I can't read who's playing what position from, like, seats you know, or from TV feels really ridiculous, and the curve looks stupid, and the letters being tiny look stupid. It took longer than I thought it would take to fix that. I figured it would be, like, after the first week, they'd be like, oh, but, like, Nike was coming out and being like, well, they gotta deal with it, which is so stupid to me. But, yeah, that's been a week in baseball. So why don't we take a break, and when we come back, I want to get into, said I was going to do this a couple weeks ago, I'm going to do it, my ranking of the City Connect jerseys. I might have some controversial takes here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and we're back. So, the City Connect. The Mets revealed theirs 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Wore them for the first time on Saturday. And the Tampa Bay Rays just revealed theirs. They're going to be wearing theirs for the first time this Saturday against the Mets. So, I figured this was as good of a time as any to give an up-to-date City Connect ranking. We've talked about my thoughts on certain jerseys before, the Nationals ones, just general discussion on them, but we've never gotten full depth into my ranking on them. So I'm going to go from best to worst. I did one of those tier makers just so I could see them while I was doing it and just like really nail it down. So I'm going to go from top to bottom, best to worst, and I think some of these might be a little controversial. So my favorite ones, the San Diego Padres ones. I am, and you're gonna realize this as we're going through this, I am a colors person. I love bright colors, you know, things that pop. I love stuff that looks very bright, very colorful, because to me, this is a game. This is supposed to be fun, and colors are fun. When everything is black and gray and drab, not a fan of that, which should give you a hint onto my feelings of certain other jerseys. But the San Diego jerseys, I think, nail it. They nail the vibe perfect. They look cool. The font is great. The colors are awesome. It looks like it's like 80s neon excess put onto a jersey. I love it. I even love the shade of, I don't know if it's like a white or a cream. It's like a white that they use, and it pops in the helmets that they use with it, the sleeves being a different color from the rest of the jersey. It just looks great. They nailed that. So my number two is the Washington Nationals jerseys. I love these City Connects. The poppies look great. The pink, with this is the one of the only times where like the gray works totally. And like the drawings of poppies on the gray, I think, look great. They're getting rid of these at the end of the season. I don't know why. I'm assuming they'll probably get a different City Connect. If so, I hope that it continues down this path. Like, I hope it isn't something totally different and drab, because that seems to be the vibe that they've gone for recently. It's just like, bleh. But yeah, these are the Washington National ones are absolutely fantastic. And the hats are great too. The hat and the jersey together look great. This is also one of the only times I actually like the three letters across the front, because I think that usually looks really tacky where it's just like WSH. I don't like that generally, but for these, it works. My number three, coming in late, the Tampa Bay Rays. I love these. The vibe of the video that they put out, the promo video for it, was great. Skate culture. I love the font that they're using across the front. The skate ray, the ray on the skateboard looks sick, even though you can't really see that. It's not on the hat or anything. The hat being a ray and also being a bridge, so sick. The colors are awesome. My one complaint with these is that the logo on the front, because I think the back, the name on the back being like a bright, vivid color, the numbers being really easy to read, I think all of that is great. My one complaint is because the jersey is black, it's supposed to look like almost like a sun-washed t-shirt, which I think they actually nailed the color of that. And it looks sick. I love a black jersey. I don't like gray jerseys. I like black jerseys. I wish that the logo on the front was solid colors instead of just outline, because I think that's probably going to be difficult to read far away on the field or sometimes on TV. I think it's not going to look super great, but just because also the colors aren't super bright, like they're not like popping on the front the way they are on the back or on San Diego. But I think that they really nailed it. Like, I would get a Tampa Bay Rays, like Randy Arozarena jersey. Like, I think it would look sick. My number four, you know, for all the flaws that Florida has, their jerseys are pretty sick. The Miami City Canucks are so awesome. Again, that bright red, the script, the blue. I mean, it helps that, like, to advertise it. You just throw it on Jazz Chisholm Jr. Everything looks sick. But, like, it's the whole color combo. It's so good. I cannot get enough of these. Again, I would buy a Chisholm. I should probably go on DHgate. I would buy a Chisholm Miami City Connect jersey. I think they look so sick. And then my final one in like the best one. I have these in like tiers. So like the best ones. This is going to be a hot take, I think. I really, really dig the Seattle Mariners ones. So the color scheme, really great. It's kind of, the font too is kind of a throwback to those classic like 70s Mariners jerseys, like the Trident Mariner jerseys. And I love that. I love that logo from back then. And I think it's pretty, it says Seattle, but it's that same like kind of font. I have a Mariners jersey from that era of like Griffey. So like, I love that vibe. And I love that color blue. It's like the perfect color blue for them. And another hot take, and I think it works best for them because of the difference between the top and the bottom. The black pants really work with this jersey because the top is blue. If it was the same color up and down, it probably wouldn't look as great, but I think it works really, really well with these. The yellow belt, like I'm looking at this picture right now, the yellow belt that I think this is Julio is rocking. It looks so sick. It captures a vibe. It's so cool. I would buy a Julio jersey. Like, I think what's important with my top best tier, S tier, if you will, is I would buy these jerseys. I would buy a jersey of a player. I'd buy a Tatis San Diego jersey. I don't know who's on the Nationals for me to buy. I would just buy a t-shirt. Like, I'd buy a J-Rod Seattle Mariners City Connect jersey. And for most of these other like groupings, I probably wouldn't, unless it was a player I really loved. But yeah, I think those are the best ones. I think that's like the top five. Now my next group, I think these are good. I think they're not as good as the best ones, but I think they're good. And of course, like the number one ones are better, like top that I'm going to get into. And then the bottom are going to be closer to like, but they're a little bit better. I think the Astros ones are really cool. I love that it says Space City. I love the details up close when they release those pictures. And it has, like, a kind of constellation-y, like, look to the jersey. I think that looks really good. On the field, I think they look really nice. It's just you can't see that super. This is my problem with the City Connects, is a lot of the details go unnoticed or you can't notice them from the field. And I think that's the problem. Like, if I go to a game against the Astros and they were wearing these, I wouldn't be able to tell the details. But I do think they, like, if I would buy an Astros jersey because I think these look so sick. I probably wouldn't necessarily get one with like a name on the back. I love the font of these. I love the logo on the hat with like the little, I think these look sick. And I know that that's also not a popular opinion, that a lot of people don't like the Space City ones. I like the Space City ones. Next up in like my good tier is the Brewers. I think the Brewers, I love a powder blue jersey. And these really nail that. And obviously, I think the Brewers already have powder blue jerseys. Correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, I love the color of these. The font of Brew Crew across the front. I also love that it says Brew Crew. I hate the jerseys that just have like three letters across it. I really love ones with a nickname on it. Space City. Brew Crew. They're not my favorites, but we'll get to this in a minute, but, like, Southside. Like, I like that it says stuff like that. That feels more in touch with the city than just WSH, you know? And I think there's a little logo on the sleeve, again, that's, like, the guy in the beer barrel, and I think that is so, I like a jersey also that, like, the city connects, it also throws back, because these teams have also been there for a minute, you know? So, like, you got to respect they have the three letter thing, but it's at the bottom where you really can't see it. And that I like. Yeah, it's got the little guy on the sleeve. I just really dig these. I think they look really, really nice. The hat, I would change. I don't like that it says MKE. I would honestly put the little guy on the sleeve on the hat. That would be my one change with these. But I think otherwise they look good. I would get a jersey and not a hat. Next, Colorado. This also feels like a hot take. And I know that they stopped I know they stopped wearing these with the dark pants. I think that's a mistake. I think they stopped wearing these with the dark pants. Yes. I think that's a mistake because I think with these, the green pants are really nice, like, continuity down the front. I think it just looks really nice. I love the mountains. I love the font across the front. I really like the hats. The hats are really cool. I would get one of those hats. What's that on the sleeve? It's like a little... Again, I like the little sleeve things that they do for these. I think those look nice. But I think they look really nice. The green and the white go so well together. Does it remind me of a can of, like, Coors? Yes. Do I care? No. And then finally, I didn't love these at first, but when the Mets played the Reds, and the Reds were wearing the City Connects a few weeks ago, and you could see them on TV, I thought they really popped. The Cincinnati Reds City Connects, I think, are really actually good. I don't think that they're the best ones, but I think that they're better than you would think. I like that they say Cincy across the front. I like the hat. The hat really ties it all together. The fact that the players are able to sort of wear it with, like, the red accents, I think really works well. They have them with black pants, which, again, I think works well for these jerseys. I don't know that they are going to keep the red pants, the black pants, or if they're going to go to white pants like so many of these other teams do. I think that would be a mistake. I love the black pants with the red piping. I think it just looks really sick. I like the dark pants. That's my hottest take. I really like the dark pants. My next tier is fine. These are like jerseys that I think are like mostly okay, but I think probably could have had more done and they would have really nailed it. But they like these. These feel like very good, like, building blocks. Like you were so close there. A B tier, if you will. If we're doing S through D, like Tier Maker does, this is my B tier. And my number one on these would be the Kansas City Royals. I think they get a lot of flack for these. I like them. I think my problem with the Kansas City ones is that they did really nothing with it. Like, the logo on the front, I think, is really, really cool. Like, I love that KC where it's, like, kind of, like, the lines and stuff. And the sleeves, I like. Again, it's getting into, like, that blue area with the white pants, I think, really pops. The hat, I would buy one of these hats. I just think that they didn't do enough. It's a lot of blank space on the jersey. They could have done more. The back is very boring. But, yeah, I think they're fine. Just doesn't feel like it didn't do much. The White Sox one, I think the South Side logo across the front looks super sick, but it doesn't catch me. Again, I feel like a lot of these first-year ones especially were very safe, like played it very safe, and I don't like that. I wish that they would have done more because they were so close. Again, these jerseys are so close to getting it right. The South Side logo is so, so good. And the hat is pretty good, too. Again, one of the only times I will accept three letters. Chai across the hat looks great. I would get one of those hats. It would go great with, like, it would go hard with a Bulls jersey. Like, a black Bulls jersey, that hat would go hard. But, yeah. Again, very safe. Pinstripe pants. Daring. I will say that. That is daring. But otherwise, very safe. The Red Sox, I understand the emotional heft that the jersey holds, and I love that they actually really leaned into local, like something really, really local that wouldn't, potentially work for someone, like an outsider, like the Mets ones. We'll get into this a little bit, but like the Mets ones, the details about it, you could break that down to an outsider, and they'd probably be like, oh, okay, I get that. But like, the Subway doesn't hold the emotional heft that I think the Boston Marathon holds, which I know that that's what that's based on, I believe, those City Connects. I love that they really leaned into that. Yeah. I think I like the color scheme, and I like the hat. The hat goes really hard. I just, again, I feel like it left a lot of blank space. And as an outsider, I get that that's what it means. It just doesn't hold the emotional heft that it does for a Red Sox fan. If a Red Sox fan told me this was one of their favorites, I would get that. I don't get the hate for these. I think that they're perfectly fine. I think that these were the first ones that were unveiled. And I think that they made it seem like these were going to be more daring than they were, that they ended up being. And I wish they would have leaned into stuff a little bit more like the Red Sox. Like, I like it from a philosophical point of view. I'm really taking a lot of time with these. So I'm going to try and fly through some of these. Philly. I love the blue. I love the color. The hat, awesome. Font, weird. Numbers on the back look terrible. Just like, again, like they like really stretched it with some of the reasonings. They were like, the collar is blue, just like our work. All right, calm down. Like, you just made a blue shirt. I get it. And then finally, the Angels ones. These are teetering on bad just because they're so bland. They look like regular alternatives. They don't fit like the fun that can be had with these City Connects. I do always love a cream-colored jersey, and the font on the front is very nice. Just does not strike me. It just looks like an alt. Then my bad tier. These are not the worst ones, but these are ones that I do not like. Or have very small elements that I do like, but mostly not a fan. Starting off with the Diamondbacks, the Serpientes. I like the use of the Spanish Serpientes hits. The color scheme, so bland. It looks like sand. It looks like, to quote my mom, like a British actor, because they're all the color of sand. That's just it. Like, and I get it. They're the desert. Totally understand. But sand is bland. Don't care where you're from. The Cubs ones, the Wrigleyville, I like the rise and the drop. It just, like, Wrigley, this is one of those occasions where they put chai across front. I guess the White Sox kind of grabbed that with the hat too, but, like, they put that across, that would seem better to me. Like, the White Sox had Southside, the Cubs have chai, that would work. It just feels like it did nothing. You know, like, it feels very boring. Baltimore, I think, is indicative of the worst tendency of the series, which is hiding all of the character and color of these jerseys where you can't see them. They're like, we don't want people, you know, people think of this city as bland, but actually it's very colorful. And to reiterate that, our jersey is going to be fully black and white with just the smallest peak of color coming through if you cuff the sleeves enough. Like, that's just terrible. And I wish they leaned more into that color scheme, because that color scheme is awesome. Like, they should have made the logo that color scheme. You know, you don't even have to have the whole jersey that color scheme. Just, like, something. Just do something with it. And now you might be wondering, why is it taking Grace so long to get to the Mets? Because the Mets are in my bad tier, and I know that this is a hot take. What you find very interesting is that the Met fans that I know through Mason Avenue and through Twitter and stuff like that, most of them seem to really like this jersey. My Met fan friends in real life, I have heard more often than not that they do not like them. I get the concrete jungle. I understand that. You will never be able to sell me on a jersey being the color of concrete. That fucking sucks. I'm sorry. You know, I get it. The city is concrete. You know what I don't want to think about when I, like, baseball should not be the color of concrete. The Mets colors are blue and orange, which is like a fire color scheme when you think about it. And then their jersey, their City Connect, is so drab. It's Baltimore, but worse. There's no option to cut the sleeves and get more color. They advertised them with purple. They were like, purple, 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 purple. And then there were no bits of purple. The Nike swoosh, the dot on the top of the hat, the little tiny bit at the bottom of each sleeve, and I think some of the piping on the pants is purple. You cannot sell that as purple. You cannot come to me and tell me that the jersey is going to be purple and then to have that, because when you keep pumping a color like that into the air, when you have the NY flash from orange to purple, that leads me to believe the jersey is going to be purple. All the cool details of this are hidden. The subway mat in the hat, or they're too small to see from the field. The pinstripes being the diamonds and circles of the subway. I actually like that concept. You can't fucking see that from the field. It just looks like pinstripes. Or the bridge pattern on the sleeves. Yeah, that's sick. But you can't see that from the field. You see, the sleeves just look like sleeves. The NYC across the front is so fucking corny. What they should have done is taken the New York City that's on the inside of the regular hat and on the front of the alternate City Connect hat, which I like the City Connect hat. It's probably my favorite part of these jerseys, but I still would take the other hat because I think they're cooler. To take that and put that across the front, that would be cooler. Also, kind of just looks like pajamas to me. the color of it, the concrete thing, just looks like pajamas. Now I'm through that rant because I've been holding on to that for a minute. Pittsburgh, what the hell are we doing here? Mustard yellow with PGH on the front. Also, like, again, what are we doing with the three letters? Just put an area code at that point. You just put in three letters. NYC, just put an area code. I don't fucking care at that point. And then the Rangers. I think the details are too muddled or they're invisible. And the font is terrible. So logo on the front is borderline illegible. Like, these are, like, as close to being ass as you can get. I actually feel unfair. I would swap Giants and Rangers here. Because I have Giants at the beginning of, like, my last tier. But I would actually put the Giants above the Rangers. The Giants, I go back and forth on these. My biggest issue is there's just too much white space. San Francisco is so colorful. And you choose 90% white space. Just baffling to me. But yeah, I would probably swap the Rangers and those. But I'm in my ass tier now. So, Giants. I do not like the Braves ones. They are glorified throwback jerseys with the put next to the A. They're terrible. Like, they put no work into those. And that is the biggest crime of these. They put no effort in. And then finally, the Dodgers. There's a reason why these are being replaced. This is the only time I don't like the dark pants. I think that because the top is all blue and the bottom is all blue, although they've been wearing the white pants with them when they've been wearing them, but this year they're getting new ones. They looked like pajamas, and they did nothing other than Dodger blue and putting Los in front of Dodgers. I think my biggest sin with these jerseys is if you don't try. Even the ones that try and fail are better than the ones that don't try. And I think that those are my feelings on the City Connects. So I love the Tampa Bay ones. I don't like the Mets ones. Why don't we, because I've gone for like 20 minutes now on City Connects. I told you I have a lot of thoughts on jerseys. Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, I'm going to do a movie minute. All right. And we're back. So my movie minute this week is a movie I just saw yesterday. Would have probably been a different movie minute up until about yesterday when I went and saw Challengers in IMAX. If this movie is still in theaters, well, it's still going to be in theaters when you hear this, but if it's still in IMAX theater, any sort of premium format, go see it in that. This movie is incredible. Incredible. It's Zendaya. This is the year of Zendaya. She is so great in this and in Dune Part 2, but specifically this. I saw someone say the other day, and I think that this made a lot of things click about Zendaya to me, that she is like Kristen Stewart in that she brings a lot of herself to a role. And so people think that she is bad at acting or isn't acting, but she is. She's just so good at making herself the character and the character herself. Like, she's so good at melding the two, and that's talent. Like, that's what Katharine Hepburn used to do. Katharine Hepburn was also one of the greatest actors who ever lived. And not to put weight on either of their shoulders here to compare them to, you know, Katharine Hepburn, who is my favorite actor of all time. But she is so good in this. So manipulative, so conniving, but so sympathetic, so, you know, it's such a deep, layered performance from her. Mike Feist, I loved him in West Side Story. I love him even more in this. He is so fantastic in this. And Josh O'Connor, who I don't think I've ever seen in anything. I don't really watch TV, so I didn't watch The Crown. Haven't seen Locumare yet. Let's see. Have I seen Josh O'Connor in anything? It's going to be really funny that I've seen him in. Oh, I saw him. He was in Emma. Okay. And he was in Cinderella. I haven't seen either of those movies in, like, at least 4 years for Emma and then more for Cinderella. But he's so great in this, too, as this pathetic and desperate character. It's so sexy. It's fun. It's tense. I did that. I don't know if you know that meme of the guy leaning in to play the video game. And I did that, like, 5 times during the movie where I was sitting and then I would lean in. I was so hooked. The score. Trent Reznor, Atticus Ross score is insane. I don't do this often. I think last night I did this with Top Gun Maverick. After the movie, I went into my playlist that I listen to when I'm in the car, and I added the song from the end credits, and then one of the songs from the middle of the movie that is such a banger. To see it in premium format, A, you buy all the way in. B, that score deserves to be. Like, I want it to radiate through my bones, basically. That's how good it is. And Luca Guadagnino, I have loved him for years. He did Coined by Your Name, obviously, was excellent. A Bigger Splash, Shakespeare, I haven't seen. I loved Bones and All from 2 years ago. And what I love about him is that he is what feels like certifiably insane, but in like a good way. Like, it feels like he's just like going in there and going, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. So the movie, the end sequence, I'm not going to tell you anything about the plot. The end sequence is a tennis sequence right at the end that has a shot from every possible point of view. From Zendaya's point of view, from Mike Feist and Josh O'Connor's point of view. And when I say point of view, I mean like literally first person, like hardcore Henry style. We're watching it as if we are there in their eyeballs, like being John Malkovich, and we're seeing them serve. The point of view of the you know, referee or umpire, whatever the term is in tennis. I'm not a tennis fan. I like the movies, though. From under the court and from the point of view of the ball. I texted a friend afterwards, and I was like, it feels like an 80s erotic, like 80s and 90s erotic thriller, almost. Not really a thriller, but like in that vein. If it was directed by Douglas Sirk, who did a bunch of really great 50s melodramas, which I recommend you check out, All That Heaven Allows, Written on the Wind, stuff like that. Directed by Douglas Sirk, if before every single take he did like a line of coke and I was like, let's go. Like, it's psychotic, but in the best way possible. And yeah, I can't recommend this movie enough. I think it's so much fun. It deserves to be seen in a theater. It deserves to be praised and to be loved. It's so, so good. It's currently my number two movie of the year, behind only Love Lies Bleeding. Yeah, this is a really exciting movie, and I hope it makes like a bajillion dollars. It probably won't, but I hope it does. The fact it got IMAX release at all was insane to me. I knew I had to see it in IMAX as soon as I got the IMAX release, and yeah, it was worth it. So yeah, I really recommend seeing Challengers. Yeah, it rocks. It's so much fun. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, I assume you listen to the other podcasts on the Home Run Apple Source Network, from Complex Queens, a pod of their own, Today Your Love, Tomorrow the World series, all the other shows. If you like those, I assume you do if you listen to this one, may I recommend our Patreon? There's a link in the description of this podcast. There's also, if you go to homerunapplesauce.com, there's a link there to take you to the Patreon. I believe it's $5 a month, and it gets you exclusive access to our Discord server, exclusive podcast episodes. I know a few months ago the lovely ladies over at A Pod of Their Own did their yearly Cookie Club episode for Patreon only. Exclusive playlists curated by podcasters, some other good stuff there. $5 a month. If you can make that swing and you really enjoy our shows, I really would recommend you do that. Well, if you like this show, you can follow us on Twitter at FIBpod, on Instagram at FlushingIsBurningPod, and you can email us at flushingisburning@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you again next week.